Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast, conducted in cooperation with Marketing Props. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, and today I'm speaking with Todd Defrin, a principal at Shift Communications and creator of the social media press release template. So welcome to the podcast, Todd.
Thanks, Paul.
So today we're going to explore in more detail the social media press release template. And Todd, you know, just for a level set for the audience, can you tell us a little bit more about the social media press release template and how Shift is using this with clients?
Sure. Well, it all came about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, when Tom Faremski, a blogger at Silicon Valley Watcher, complained in what's become a legendary post, you know, die press release, die, die, die. And
right.
We kind of, now everyone's complained about press releases for the last 100 years that they've been in existence. But we saw this as kind of a clarion call to try and actually do something about it. Ultimately, the social media press release or social media news release or whatever you wind up calling it is simply a way to both webify the content that you put in a news release and also ideally to socialize it. So it's about adding multimedia, making sure that these things are more findable than they've ever been before in the age of Google, but also giving some community and context aspects to it as well, letting people potentially comment on the news or take and remix aspects of the news and put it on their own blog or news article, et cetera, and discuss it and find it amongst their friends.
So what success stories or experiments can you tell us about? I noticed a couple of posts on your blog. You know, what can you tell us about what's been successful or maybe even what hasn't been successful in some of these experiments?
Well, the first thing that I'm really happy about is just the volume and level of the companies that have at least given it a try and even done it more than once. I keep a running list on my blog, but just some of the names at random would include Coca-Cola, Cisco, Gatorade, Verizon, as well as, you know, Symantec and WebEx and Nutrisystem, a lot of big companies, names that people know. So the fact that they've even heard about the social media release, I think, speaks to the fact that they are trying to listen to the blogosphere, and that's a good thing. In terms of specific case studies, the one that I like to point to most often is one of our clients called HubSpot, it's H-U-B-S-P-O-T. They have a pretty cool free SEO evaluation tool called Website Grader. And we put out a social media release that included a report on the top 20 or so blogs that are listed in Technorati. And as part of the social media release, we included things, you know, multimedia such as the HubSpot logo and the Website Grader logo, and screenshots, et cetera. But most importantly, the SEO report itself was embedded within the social media release. And through some traditional media relations to some of those top bloggers, some of them found it on their own and asked us about, you know, what is this and how did you judge me? And some we reached out to with traditional means. One of the guys that we reached out to was a famous marketer, Guy Kawasaki. And he not only read the release, but he tweeted about it and he wrote a blog post about it. And what was kind of cool for us as people who advocate that you should put a lot of multimedia content within the release because it's such an image-friendly web out there. Guy actually took some of the logo that we had embedded in the social media release and put it within his blog post. So we knew that because that was the only place it had been available that he had taken a look at it and actually remixed some of the components for his own use. A combination of his tweeting and his blog post, the Boston Globe wrote about it strictly because Guy Kawasaki had checked out this release, and their website traffic doubled or tripled for several days in a row.
Nice. Very nice. So is there trouble selling this internally as the client when the clients on the inside, like let's say Coke or, you know, one of these other examples that you used, are they finding it hard to sell that internally?
Well, I think in any large company in particular, there's always, you know, and naturally so, there's going to be questions about what is this newfangled thing? Are you just doing something cool because you think it's cool today, but it's just, you know, the newest toy, you know, the shiny object syndrome? Those are natural questions to ask. And ultimately, I think for me and for when I talk to clients about it, this is not supposed to be a dangerous thing or a scary thing or something that is kowtowing specifically to the bloggers. This is something that we think is suited not just for the blogosphere, but for traditional media as well. There are 3,000 press releases that go out over the wire services every single day. So you're kidding yourself if you think that each one of those is getting read by mainstream journalists, bloggers, or anyone else in between. So this is a way to differentiate that content, to strip out some of the phony baloney that people have complained about when it comes to PR for so long, and even to be more helpful in terms of giving people more content and more context so that they can find what they want, use it as they like, and make sure that they're operating within that context of, okay, what else, what's gone before? One of the things about the social media release is that we like to include links to other articles that have been going on and continue to roll in, just as you would see on a blog post where you'd see blogs that link here. Why not have the same level of functionality for a news release so that people have the context of how this is being received worldwide?
Right. I mean, it makes it more conversational, and I mean, you see that happening now with magazines and newspapers, you know, join in the discussion. I mean, this is becoming, normal in today's lexicon. And now, you know, this is applied in the press release arena. I think it's very clever.
I look at it as being on the right side of history.
Exactly.
So, ideally.
All right. So what do you think the future, I know you've been sort of working on this a little bit. What do you think the future of the social media press release is?
Well, I think it's, even though, you know, it's 2 years in these fast-paced times, 2 years seems like a long time, but we're up against 100 years worth of history for the traditional release. I think the future will entail a couple of things. The most important thing would be further adoption, not just adoption as experimentation, but adoption in terms of, hey, this thing actually works. I want to do this again and again because it's more effective for me. So that's going to continue to just take raw experimentation by a lot of big companies and have them show some success in case studies. One of the biggest challenges, and I'm not sure I even answered your question fully before, Paul, in terms of the pushback we get, is whether or not comments should be enabled for these news releases. And some people think, sure, why not? Some people think, no way am I going to open myself up to that. And we've always advocated for moderated comments. We don't think that you should allow, you know, spam and curse words and unfair or untrue statements to be made in your corporate blog or in your corporate newsroom. But those are the types of experiments that are just now going on. Looking a little further out, we recently announced, we being many bloggers who are involved in this effort, because it's certainly not just me, but the International Association of Business Communicators, IABC, which has about 15,000 people worldwide, they've offered to take a leadership role where they can kind of be a neutral third party who can negotiate between bloggers, journalists, professional communicators, in the PR industry and then wire services to help set some standards for the social media news release of the future. So I'm excited to see where that goes.
Excellent. So what advice would you have for a B2B technology marketer when it comes to, you know, taking PR and using social media? What advice would you have down that trail?
I'd say it's a question we get frequently, and it's oftentimes the case where we'll have a client say, you know, this blogging stuff sounds pretty cool and neat, but I do, you know, B2B widgets, and this isn't really a big, you know, motivator for us. And I'd say that may be the case today, but more and more you're going to find people, whether in their personal blogs and they happen to work in kind of a B2B industry or as part of their professional development, that blogs are going to be springing up in any B2B industry, in any industry that you work in. So my best and first advice tends to be start looking for those opportunities to engage. Start listening to what's being said about your company, about your industry, about the world at large that's of interest to you. And slowly but surely engage with those folks. It doesn't have to be that every company in the world needs to have a blog post, but I do think every company in the world that is given an opportunity to listen directly to their end customers, whether in the B2B or B2C realm, misses a big opportunity if they don't do that.
That's a good point. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Todd. I really appreciate your time. For our listeners, now it's your turn. Please let us know what you're doing to combine the power of social media in a press release for your company. Todd and I would be glad to keep this conversation going with you online, and we'll be back again next week with another PropCast. So thank you very much for listening.